urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is a pleasure to be with you today, November 3rd, 2025. And guess what? It's the Feast of St. Martin de Porres. What a special, special saint. So I ask that through his intercession and the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Blessed Lady and all the angels and saints, that this is a special program that will minister to your heart today. So let us begin with prayer. And I felt strongly that we should pray the Serenity Prayer together today. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Taking, as he did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, and that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we pray also for the elections tomorrow. We pray for your holy and divine will to become evident, and that only your people would be placed in power. And we thank you and praise you for that in advance. We pray, Lord, for peace in the world, all the ends of the earth that are in turmoil. Heavenly Father, we pray for that gift of peace to descend upon the earth, and that you will reign, allowing people to know that you are the King of Kings. Heavenly Father, we also pray for healing for all of our loved ones today, this special month of purgatory. We pray to you, St. Gertrude, through your intercession for all the souls in purgatory. And we thank you and praise you, Jesus, for your divine mercy that has allowed us this powerful gift of praying for the souls in purgatory. We thank you, Jesus, and we surrender this network, this radio network, to you and this particular program. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to be talking about the root of anger, which blocks our path to holiness. Wow, this was quite strong. I was sharing with my husband how I had planned a whole other program. And let me tell you the secret to my prayer time. It's putting on Gregorian music when I'm praying. And actually, I pray Gregorian music throughout the night. I have a little headset that I put on, and so I put on Gregorian music on YouTube, and it just brings such a gift of peace to me, and I'm able to pray and intercede for those who need intercession. But today I had a whole other program planned, and I put on the Gregorian music to prepare for this broadcast, and wow, did I get a whammy, a 360. Like, no, I like your idea, but it's not time for that. So the Lord wants me to talk about anger. So we must have some listeners today who really need to know the spiritual side of anger and how to get out of it. So as my friend Kathleen McCarthy says, it is what it is. So anger is our topic today, and it is what it is. Now, the root of anger is basically a fear of forgiving. It is a fear of forgiving. And we're going to get to the fear that if I forgive, I'm going to be hurt again. Now, how many of us think of that? I know I do. If I forgive, I'm just setting myself up to be hurt again. Anger is rooted in the fear of forgiving, and the fear because it will leave us very vulnerable to be hurt again. And it's the fear of rejection, isn't it, my friends? Now, piety is the gift of loving the Father and loving his people with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. And it will give us that strength, my friends, that grace to forgive and to uproot this fear. Father, forgive them. And that fear, my friend, is the anger. Now, somehow, each of us has heard God calling us by name, haven't we? Well, maybe not. Maybe not today. God called Moses by name. Moses, Moses. He called him twice. And maybe Moses didn't hear him the first time. Now, I know, how many times do we not hear Christ the first time? Maybe Moses didn't hear him the first time, and maybe we don't hear God call us the first time either. But God doesn't mind repeating himself. He's called each of us personally by name. Moses' response was, "Here I am." Isn't that beautiful? That's from Exodus 3, verse 4. "Here I am." He didn't say, "Here I am, I'm Moses." He just said, "Here I am." Exodus 3, 4. Now, that's our response too. We need to say at this moment, "Joe, Joni, Michael, Lauren, Jane." He's saying your name right now. And you say, "Here I am. Here I am." That's our response right now on this radio broadcast. Here I am. Now, each of us has received a call. And when we talk about a call, oh, we're talking about a mission as well. And now we have a mission. We've talked about this so much. Moses was called to be a prayer warrior and a tremendous intercessor. But first and foremost, he was called as a prophet to listen to God and dialogue with him. And that's what we're called to be. This is where he received his instructions. As we study, we will constantly be going back to our relationship with God, because without this relationship, we haven't any life. We haven't any power. And we certainly haven't anything, because Jesus is everything. We're called to the summit of love, my friend. We are called to transform and to be a transforming union. And we are called to be totally one with Jesus Christ, especially Jesus Christ crucified, who is the summit of agape love, because Jesus is the prayer warrior. Jesus is the intercessor. Jesus is the mediator. And Jesus is the beloved Son, the one whom the Father listens to. So when Jesus prays in us, through us, and with us, we know we have the Father's ear. So this mission that we have is one like Moses had, like Moses's mission. But first and foremost, it's called, guess what? Fill in the blanks. A relationship. Now, when God spoke of the mission to Moses, he said, "I will send you to Pharaoh to lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I will send you." Really catches my attention. How about yours? "I'll send you." What? He's going to send me? What is different now is that he wants to send us. We have had the armor on and at least parts of it on for so long. And when we're severely attacked, as most of us are today, we may begin to wonder what happened to the helmet we had on. What happened to the shield? And what happened to me? But hopefully we have the armor on. And God is saying to you right now, if you're listening, "I will send you." He's talking about sending us forth now as prayer warriors right into the enemy's camp to lead his people out of Egypt, out of paganism, out of the desert, and out of all the places where they're confined right now. Now, the beautiful words God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gives to us too, by the way. He promised Moses, "I will be with you." It is key for a prayer warrior to understand this. Now, "I will be with you." We need to believe it. We need to earn it, live it, breathe it. We need to believe this. "I will be with you." If we don't believe that God is with us, then we're going to go down fast. Because when the thick of the battle comes and the clouds get dark, Satan will know right away that we're not really sure. Now, Lord, where are you? We don't have to say that if we believe his promise to us, that he's always with us. And you're not going to go into the battle alone, is what he is telling us, because the battle belongs to me, which is Jesus. It's my battle, but I need to fight it through, with, and in you now. I know I have listeners right now who need to hear this. I will be with you. Jesus is talking to you right now. I will be with you. And our response is, Lord, it should be, Lord, I believe you. I truly believe in you. I know you wouldn't call me to this kind of ministry, to this life, to this mission, if you weren't true to your promise that you'll be with me always, always, the sun is shining or not. Now, he is forming you today. He's forming us deeply as prayer warriors. Listen to this title. I'm sure many of you have heard it throughout your lifetime, and maybe some of you who are channel surfing right now are hearing it for the first time. He wants to heal us. He wants to heal you, so that when we come against the enemy, the doors within our own houses where the enemy could enter will be closed, so we won't get hurt or knocked down. And many times, my friends, people take a beating in this kind of world and how we're living today. And we wonder, Lord, what is happening here? There has to be some open doors. There must be some open doors. There are open doors within all of us. So we're going to try to get those doors closed today, so we can all be fully armed with our houses fully locked up, except for the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be prepared and well-trained. That's the purpose of this radio network. It's not entertainment. This is a Catholic radio network calling people of all faiths to be trained, prepared, and trained, so we can go forth with the sword, with Jesus himself, and not only fight the battle, but win. Now, St. Paul tells us that God chose us from the beginning of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, in other words, St. Paul's telling us that to be a saint is simply to be full of God's love. You know, we've talked about this over and over again. Now, sometimes we're so full of our own self-love, aren't we? Self-interest, self-concern, but we're called to be saints. Now, how in the world can this happen? How can we be saints if we're full of self-love, self-interest, and self-concern? Now, we may wonder, what is God's will? And I hear people asking this very often in my ministries up near 40-some years of ministry. And the answer is very simple. St. Paul in the sacred scriptures tells us that God's will is our own sanctification. It is simply to be holy, not to be a millionaire or, you know, some great entertainer. It's to be holy. It is to become a saint. This is all throughout the Bible. Pick up the sacred scriptures. Pick them up and read them and pray them. The Father himself tells us, you shall be holy because I am holy. It's so simple, isn't it? Now, he wants us to be holy because he wants us to be like himself and to be with him. Everything he has, he wants to give us. He's given us everything in the tremendous gift of Jesus. So we need to take a closer look at the reasons why we're not yet as holy as God wants us to be. Now, my friend, this is not an easy task, but it's a challenge I'm presenting to you if you're listening. Are you willing, really willing, if you're listening, are you really willing to take a closer look at the reasons why you're not yet as holy as God wants you to be? Be honest. Answer that in the car. Maybe, you know, just mouth it silently. Maybe you're at work. It's extremely important that we know who we are, because if we don't know, Satan will try to tell us who we are. And we have all heard some of those accusations and stories, haven't we? and they can make us very unsteady and wobbly if we really don't know who we are. And many times, now I'm not talking about a fashion designer, a lawyer, a doctor, your vocation. I'm talking about who you are in relationship to Jesus Christ. Many times we have come up against Satan himself in spiritual warfare. And one of the main things he will do and always say is, who do you think you are? Have you ever heard that? Now, it would be terrible if we said, oh, I don't know who I really am. Well, how many of us have said that? Oh, I don't really know who I am. We do know who we are. And one of Satan's titles in Scripture is Lucifer, which means angel of light. Now, if you don't believe me, write this down. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Now, this means deceiver. That is how cunning he is. He will deceive us with light, not with things that look evil, dark, or really bad, but with light. And this is a tremendous deception that if you're not really trained, as we talked about the purpose of this radio program, if we're not trained, we don't know where the deception is. And this is one reason why the experience at Mount Tabor to be bathed and clothed and transfigured in light as Jesus was is so important for us, the transfiguration. Jesus tells us, dear listener, clearly, be on guard and pray that you may not undergo the test. Be on guard. This is extremely important tonight for prayer warriors to know. Watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. This watchfulness that we're talking about, this prayerfulness, actually becomes weapons for us, because temptation is the doorway into sin. And we don't usually step right into sin, do we? First, we step into the doorway into temptation. Now, if you're listening, you may be a gambler, and God knows, only knows, that on television now they've opened up the doorway to gambling on TV. And you think, oh, my husband gambles, it's not a big deal, it's for a football game. But it becomes an addiction, or pornography, or your teenage grandchildren, or teenage children, or your family members are just looking at stuff on their phone that's evil. That's the doorway. This watchfulness, you have to be watchful and prayerful. It becomes your weapon for us to become, because temptation is the doorway into sin. Now listen to this. I just had this discussion the other day. What is the portal that's welcoming the evil one into this particular house? There has to be a portal, because things are going haywire. And the person looks at me, what are you talking about? Now, most of us have portals with our medical records, don't we? Well, we can access our medical records and check different tests and messages to the doctor and vice versa. Well, there's a portal from the bad guy into our homes, our hearts, our families, and we have to shut it off. And so if you're on this radio broadcast today, I'm asking you to shut it off. And we're going to go through how to shut it off. You need to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Now, a temptation could be gluttony too, where you're just overeating and overeating to the point where you're sick. Now, this watchfulness and prayerfulness actually becomes weapons for us, because temptation is the doorway into sin. Remember that. Temptation is the portal or the method and the doorway into sin. And we don't actually step right into sin. It's not like, okay, I'm just going to step right into this. We don't usually step right into sin. First, we step into the doorway. Yes. Especially those who are naive in terms of what the spiritual battle is. We step into the doorway into temptation. Oh, it won't hurt me to gamble a little bit off of this TV ad. It won't hurt me a little bit to look at this picture, or to make a comment about a beautiful woman, even though you're lusting after her and you're sinning with your eye, or vice versa, or to cheat someone. You think, oh, it won't hurt to take a couple dollars. This is where the struggle takes place, my friend. This is where a choice has to be made. And this is your training ground. Jesus taught us to pray to God the Father. Subject us not to the trial, but deliver us from the evil one. Don't even let us get close. Father, protect us. If we make the wrong choice, then we pass that doorway or temptation into sin itself, which is usually stepping into Satan's kingdom. And when we give in to temptation, and are led into sin, it's weakness, our posture, and our ability to stand firm. It weakens our ability to hold fast and to hold our ground. And because we're on shaky territory, we can easily fall or move into full-on sin, full-on addiction. So one of Satan's main strategies is that he lies. He lies and lies and lies. So Jesus has told us he distorts God's word all the time. The sacred scriptures are distorted all the time. He distorts God's truth. He's the father of lies and attempts to invalidate God's word. And this is why we need to know and study God's word. This is why we need to be sacramental people. This is what he did when he tempted Eve. He said, did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? Did God really tell you that? He tried to invalidate what God had said. Eve dialogued with him, which is one of the main principles of a prayer warrior. Never, ever dialogue with Satan. But Eve did. She took a step a little too close and gave Satan the information that he was looking for. He didn't know all that God had said to Eve in that pure light. He didn't even know, but she told him, oh, no, she said. God didn't say that. God said this. Then Satan invalidated God's word by saying, oh, that's because God doesn't want you to be like himself. And so Eve believed the lie. The truth is that God does want us to be like him. And that's why he sent us Jesus. God wants you, my dear listeners, to have his mind, his heart, his will, his preference, and his plan today. Not in a year, not in a five-year strategy. He wants you to have it today. And he wants to share his life fully and totally with all of us. But he doesn't want us to be God. Sin comes in when we try to be God. And wow, oh wow, the New Agers, they love us to try to become God. Tap in your God. Tap into your God. That is, sin becomes when we try to be God. And sin comes in when we forget that he is the creator and we are the creatures. We're not the creators, we're the creatures. Now, sin comes in when we forget he's our Father, a loving, merciful Father. And we are his children, his little ones. And Jesus was that without sin. And so the enemy had no hold on him. Think about that. None whatsoever. The enemy only operates in the territory of sin. And this is what he lives and breathes. He tries to entice us to be where he is, but God is calling you, you who are listening today, to walk in holiness. Yes, you to walk in holiness. And scripture says, in him there is no darkness. That's 1 John verse 1, verse 5. In him there's no darkness. There's no confusion. There's no lack of peace. He was filled perfectly, totally, fully with light. One time, the Lord showed us that when Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit led him right into Satan's camp. But it's interesting that face-to-face with enemy number one, Satan couldn't touch Jesus. He tried to tempt him, but it didn't work, did it? Because Jesus was clothed in light. He had on the armor of light because he is light. The Holy Spirit is giving and teaching us today to be leading us right into Satan's camp, isn't it? We got to watch it. The more we can be filled with God's light and truth, the more darkness within us and others will be dispelled. Satan won't be able to get hooked into us. So many times, and I have some stories I'll be sharing with people and interceding for people, we see that there are places within them that are still in darkness, don't we? When you're on a prayer team, you see that. You don't share it with others. You just share it privately. Satan is there in his insidious little ways with his cohorts, tempting, controlling, keeping people in bondage, or he's going in and out of the house in the dark areas, ministering to people. Pondering, we need to ponder our sins. And in doing so, we bring God's light into every area of our entire being. Whenever someone is deceiving or lying, and you want to keep quiet, and you're like, oh, I don't want to say anything. What I have taught those who have asked me for spiritual direction over 40-plus years, hold it up to the light. What do you mean, man? Hold it up to the light. Hold it up to the light. Tell the truth. Expose the darkness. Expose the lie, the deceit. St. Paul said, let us cast off deeds of darkness. And that's from Romans 13, verse 12. And then he said, now, this is very important because this was just said to me 2 days ago for someone. Put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light from Romans 13, verse 12. Once we cast out deeds of darkness and God's light comes into us, the bad guy doesn't have a platform within us anymore. Now, bringing God's light is the easiest way to do deliverance ministry. And Satan and his cohorts will flee. They hate the light. They hate truth, and they hate Jesus. They're like bats. Have you ever seen a bat? Have you ever seen a B-A-T? Not a bat, baseball bat, but a bat that flies around in the dark. Bats don't do well in the dark. They're very powerful in the dark. Have you ever seen them? They're sneaky little sticky creatures. So the light is our number one weapon to dispel the darkness and uproot Satan. Now, sin will always be an infraction of God's love in some way. And this is the power of the sacrament of reconciliation. I just shared with someone today the most powerful form of deliverance from all evil and the most powerful form of healing is to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. It is the healing ointment of Christ in your wounds. In your sin, it brings about wholeness. My friends, confession is a key to closing that portal that I've sensed today. People who are listening are involved in bad things. Can go to confession, set up an appointment. Go to confession to close that portal, that doorway to temptation. It will always bear the bad fruit of coming against God's love. It will make us somehow love God less if we have some kind of a sin in our lives. And that's the beauty of the sacrament of reconciliation. Oh, how we have forgotten this in our society. It will always strike against love. Sin always strikes against love. And God really wants you to know in all the areas of your life, and all the hidden areas, he wants you to bring light to all those lies that perhaps are in your life today that are facing you. He wants you to bring that light to all who are in your life and perhaps are affecting your family. So after the break, we're going to return, my friends. We have a lot to cover, a lot of ground about rooting out anger and blocking our path to holiness. So stay tuned after the break. We have so much more to to share.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And today we are talking about anger and how it blocks our path to holiness. And there is justifiable anger, by the way, which is a whole other program. And we have talked about it, but today we're talking about the root of sin and anger and unforgiveness. And we're going to be, this is God's training ground. This is God's training network. And we plan on just dishing it out to you and not holding back anything that God wants of you. So please stay with me. We're going to be talking about anger. Now, all of our emotions are God-given gifts, right? All of our emotions. And we're made in His image and likeness. Now, God has beautiful feelings and He has shared them with us. No emotion of itself is a sin. Now, we cannot directly control the arising of an emotion in our hearts. It just happens, doesn't it? It's a feeling. But we can choose the way we're going to use that emotion. And we can choose what we're going to do with it. Now, our will can command any emotion to rise, to flourish, or to cease. But if the commands that we give to this emotion are weak, they won't be obeyed because we will allow our emotions to be stronger than our will. Now, does this sound familiar to you? When we are not using the gift of our emotions for God's greater glory and honor, then the bad guy will come in and use them for his. Now, our consent or lack of consent is what is going to make our emotions either sinful or virtual. It can go either way. We need to exercise our will constantly, constantly. So, is it simple or virtual? This will help you to understand that we can't control our first emotion any more than we can control our first thought. But we can control how we respond. And that's our choice. See, anger arises from zeal is virtuous. So anger coming from zeal is virtuous. But anger coming from passion is sinful. Now we see God's anger arising from His zeal, His tremendous love for your soul, for my soul, for all souls, for goodness, for life, for what is right, and for whatever glorifies the Father. Now, this is called virtuous anger. So getting angry righteously at the right thing is not a sin. getting angry at the wrong thing is a sin. Now, we really see this beautifully in the way God manifests his anger, right? We know Jesus got angry in the sacred scriptures. Jesus got very angry more than once. And one of the classic times that we all should remember is when he was angry with the money changers in the temple. Remember that? He's in our temple, and when he sees us shortchanging God, he can get upset with us too. This is justifiable anger. It's a controlled anger. It's a God anger. Our way to tell if our anger is being led by the Holy Spirit, we can ask ourselves, oh, am I getting angry at things I should be getting angry at? Is my anger controlled? Because if our anger is Holy Spirit led, it will be Spirit controlled as well. As long as our anger is controlled by God, it can serve really a very good purpose. A very good purpose. And I want you to remember that. There are different types of anger, and many times we don't even know that. Recently, I was asked, and probably not even 3 days ago, can we hate a person's philosophy and ideas but not hate the person? Now, God, well, that's important for tomorrow. God always separates the sin from the sinner, and we certainly can too. Now, there are times when we certainly should feel angry about what's going on in our world, and it should anger us enough that we want the injustice stopped, and we hate what's happening, but we don't hate the person. We always have to distinguish between the two. There's always a need to be discerning in our emotions because our God is a God of love. God can hate anything that will try to destroy love. And so there are things, my friends, that we hate. We should hate the things that try to destroy God's love in us, particularly God's love in people. And from the beginning, my dear prayer warrior, we need to learn to separate the person from their actions. We can hate what the actions are, but never, ever hate the person. We don't want to destroy what God has made. And we always want to pray that that love will come into that person or situation. If we start hating people and not what they do, and if we can't separate the sin from the sinner, then we've gone into the bad guy's camp right away, and we've lost that first round of the battle. We've lost the first round. Are you understanding this? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you today? We're talking about the sin of anger. Now, the church and many of the saints teach us that anger itself isn't the worst sin, but it's a capital sin. Because it opens the door and teaches and leads us to other sins. It's the gate, my friends. It's beyond the doorway that we just talked about. It is the gate. And sometimes when we give in to that anger, the bad guy takes over and we're out of control. People get totally out of control. And then we're usually in the enemy's camp, aren't we? It opens the door to others and other sins and manifestations of anger, with hate being the very worst of all for that anger. And the last stage of anger is hate. And if we stay there, it can actually become diabolical. It's the opposite of love. And the bad guy usually is controlling us then, right? Well, I know all of us listening have some situation like that. There are four levels of anger. And we're in the training camp, so maybe you need to grab a pen. We're in that training camp today. The first is only the emotion of anger. It may be that someone has a bad temper, and they're just hot or quick-tempered. It could be their nationality or disposition. They flare up easily, but it's only the emotion. Now, the second level is anger that is regulated by reason. Now, this is when our will is involved. This is a deeper level of anger because our will is involved now. Which way are we going to go with that anger? Now, the third level of anger oversteps the bounds of right reason, and we can get out of control here. This is what St. Thomas Aquinas calls the capital sin of anger. It's really much more serious. It's an overstepping the bounds of right reason. And the fourth level of anger is when our emotion of anger turns to hatred of God and our neighbor. Now, did you know that there were all those different levels? There's different levels of anger. So what does anger look like in you today? If you're traveling down the Schuylkill Expressway, you're on 495, you're on 95, you're in the office, what does it look like in you today? Are you usually an unhappy person, but you have some anger deep within? Say yes or no. Is there a loss of peace in your life? We can go right into anger if we're not careful. And we'll see anger as discord in families, communities, or within ourselves. And anger can also express itself in sadness, bitterness, that sarcastic person that's in the family, the stubbornness, the quarrels, the unforgiveness, and retaliation. Anger expresses itself always in taking the opposite side, never agreeing on anything, holding grudges, nitpicking, saying abusive words and insulting comments, nursing injuries, and seeking revenge, which, by the way, is a whole other program. It's a more serious expression of anger. Now, those of us in ministry see a lot of retaliation with the enemy, but humanly, we can retaliate too. The Lord reminded us of a time when we retaliated. Yep, he reminded us. And we've all had those moments, haven't we? We've all had those moments. We have seen this in very serious ways, this retaliation, which has even had led to road rage. And I always think of Marty Rotella and his witness story. And here's one of the greatest evangelists and songwriters. And guess what? He did suffer horribly from road rage. But some of his greatest songs came out of road rage. Anger will hinder our right use of reason, and then it will let go. It will go into the capital sin and will violate God's love. Anger has a negative effect on others, and it will always lead to uncharitable behavior. I know those of you who are in parish ministries or organizations are thinking about this. Angry thoughts lead to angry conduct, right? Angry thoughts lead to angry conduct. We see this, by the way, in full-blown color with Jesus' crucifixion. It began with a lot of thoughts that the scribes and the Pharisees started having, escalated into speech, and then into action on their part. Anger leads to a spirit of contradiction. It leads to rudeness, dear friends. Sometimes anger may be manifested in just being withdrawn. Pulling in. It can lead to lying, concealment, and fault finding. Sometimes, have you ever heard the saying, I can't hear a word you're saying because your actions are shouting? How many of us have heard that? I can't hear a word you're saying because your actions are shouting. Well, we may not say anything, but our actions say it, don't they? And we may know someone else is angry, not by what they're saying, but by their actions, or by what they're not saying. We need to know which adjectives fit us, right? Now, how does anger express itself within you, within me? What does it look like? Well, maybe you're saying, I'm not cooking dinner tonight for my family. Well, that may be your anger. or I'm going to let my bank account be overdrawn this month to show my husband or my wife that I'm in control, or I'm going to tell my boss I'm the only one that knows how to do this strategic plan or to prepare this report. I want you to really think about that. How does anger express itself in you? And what does it look like? Maybe you roll your eyes. Maybe you stomp your feet. Maybe you slam your hand in a door. We want to give a face to our sins because the bad guy knows us so well, and he goes about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We need to know what's going on within us. And if we don't, we can build a house of anger within ourselves by not dealing, my friends, with their different expression of anger. If we do that, evil spirits can come and live or minister in us like we are their playthings. We're their plumbing. We're their portal. Sometimes people are afraid to tell us or to tell anyone that they're angry or upset with God. Now, many times I've heard this with people who are ill, and their family members are truly upset with God. And I love what Father Doug McKay says. He says, it's okay to be angry with God. It's okay. Well, sure, you're upset because your loved one is suffering or you're suffering, and you're angry with God. It's okay. Job was very upset with God, and many of the saints would really get upset with God. But God sees us as little children, and little children can get their anger out to a parent, can't they? Now, the parent isn't going to love them any less because they're angry with them, and God doesn't love us any less. He can handle our anger, but he knows that we can't handle our own anger at him. We have to get it out. So if we're upset with God about different things, and the first thing we do is we tell him about it, I suggest you journal, and we write it out. This is what I don't like, God. This is what I hate. This is what I wish you would have done that you didn't do. And I can't understand why you allowed this, God. Why did you give me these parents? Why weren't you there when I needed you as a little child? Why was I adopted? Why was I rejected? Where were you when I had no one and you were not there for me? Where were you, God? And sometimes you may be upset with something the church is doing, or something it isn't doing, or something a priest has done, or your pastor, or didn't do, or something a nun did, or your local youth minister didn't do. There are many ways of being upset with God and his representatives, right? Now think about them. Whatever it is, we get it out, because as long as we're upset or angry with God, we're not going to hear a word he's saying to us. Listen carefully. If we don't get it out, speak it, confess it, ask for forgiveness, then we're not going to hear one word God says to us. There are essential questions that we need to ask God. We need to hear from God. Then God's grace will start to flow. Now, hearing from God will be the healing itself. Now, he's not going to come in with a big, burly voice. It's just a silent, quiet intuition. But we have a tendency not to talk about our anger, and so we turn our back on God, don't we? Now, God's grace will start to flow in you. Healing comes from hearing from God. But we have a tendency not to talk about our anger. Oh, no, we're going to stuff it in. And by the way, there are many people healed when they forgive. Physical healings documented medically and in the church, where people have been healed, physically healed of cancer and other bad things when they have forgiven those who have hurt them. And so we turn our back on God. How many of us turn our back on God? We give him the silent treatment, don't we? Because we're angry with him and the pain continues. The root can grow and the wound gets festered. And sometimes people are afraid to let God know that they're angry with him. But no one knows better than God that we're upset with him. We need to get our emotions out And then God will start to minister to us in this area. And I know I have someone listening today, many people. He may show us why he made a certain decision, and it may not be something we like, or why he didn't do something. And trust me, I've been through that this week. Didn't like some decisions made with a lot of prayer, but I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has a reason. He may show us that he was there all the time, but we didn't know it. He'll let us know. He'll let us know. The bad guy, it will come out in giddiness sometimes, or laughter that's not controlled. And in Revelation 12:17, we read that the bad guy was angry at the woman, angry at the church, angry at all of us. And so he was going off to wage war on her offspring. And that's us. He is going to retaliate. A spirit of retaliation is a spirit that's very angry, and it's going to strike back because somehow we've advanced into the bad guy's kingdom, and he is upset. He will use another spirit to retaliate. So this is why we need to go to confession, my friends. We need to go to confession. You'll say, oh, I didn't murder anybody. I didn't commit adultery. If you're harboring anger today, get to confession. I don't want that doorway to be in your life or in your family. We bind the spirit of retaliation and the spirit it is working through. And when one spirit uses another spirit, it's important to remember to bind all the spirits. We must remember this, my friends. Anger is a very powerful sin. It's a powerful emotion that can be used in a wonderful way. It's not always bad. And it's not always evil. It's when it turns the corner into maliciousness and jealousy and revenge when it turns the other way. So, my friends, I have, as I didn't do this last week, but I have this reading from Kathleen's book, In the Silence of My Heart, which I felt strongly to read today again, volume 4. And again, it's the prophetic word of Kathleen McCarthy, which has the Nikia Lapsat and the imprimatur from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So it's not as if she wrote this down and it's like, okay, well, whatever. It has been approved. It has been approved. So I received this the other night and I was praying, and this, I opened up to this, and today in preparing for the program, it became evident. But this is what the Lord wants read today, because I know someone, or there are multiple people who are listening from different states who need to hear this message. Just as I overshadowed the one who was most highly favored, the one who was chosen in the fullness of time, just as I overshadowed, just as I blessed, and just as I gave new life, because of her cooperation, because of her yes, because of her word saying, let it be done, I ask each of you, do you not believe that I am? Do you believe that I would not help, heal, bind up your wounds? Do you not believe in the depth of my love for each and every one of you? I know your wounds. I know all the scars, all the words that have torn you down through your entire life rather than build you up. I know how you felt out of place. I know that you have felt like you didn't fit in with others. And I know there were times growing up and even today, that child screams out for healing because you could not satisfy. You could not be the person that you thought you should be. The son, the daughter, the worker, the boss, the friend, the mother, the sister, the brother. I am a God of the living, not of the dead. I want to heal you right now. I want to heal you right now. I want to fill you with a peace that the world cannot rob you of. I've seen you hurt, your tears, your fears, and even your dead. You ask, why can I not do the things that you call me to do? Why can I not act in the power of your Holy Spirit as you call me to? my child. You are a child, yet you know, compared to the agelessness of God, I sent you my Holy Spirit to perfect you, to teach you, to strengthen you when you're weak, to caress you when you feel no one else appreciates you or that you don't need the gifts that I've given you. Many of you doubt that you even have gifts. I have so much I want to reveal to you, so, so much that my heart beats wildly when you turn to me. My heart rejoices when you come to spend time with me, when you visit me. Yes, I long to hold you close to me, into my heart. I want to show you all the things that I have in store for you. Things of good, not of woe. You see, by giving you the gift of my Holy Spirit, I have made you a child of the kingdom. You're royalty. You think I would not take care of my own? Do you think I would not heal your hearts when they're broken? Do you think I would not edify you when you feel downtrodden and useless? I tell you that I am always in that midst of loving you into wholeness, even when you don't realize it. I'm not just with you in the times of these moments of epiphany, when you realize I'm with you and working through you. I am with you at every moment all the time, when you wake, when you sleep, when you live out the day. Come to me and allow me to work in you, to bind up your wounds, to strengthen you. For I tell you today, I will overshadow you so that all these difficult situations and all these trying circumstances, you will bring forth my saving grace. You'll bring forth my saving grace in every situation. You will bring the light of my love to others, to dispel the darkness that would come against you. You have never anything to fear, my child. Do not be afraid. Do not doubt. Do not doubt your giftedness. And do not doubt how beautiful and uniquely I've made you. No one else could take your place, you know. And so I ask you tonight, I ask you now to remember that there is nothing in your path that you cannot bring to me, that I cannot deliver you, heal you, and cleanse you from. Come now, for it is always now with me. You see, you could never be too late because I am always here now. Now is the moment of faith. Come to me. Place your burdens on my feet and allow me to deliver you, heal you, and make you whole in me. Come to the sacrament of reconciliation so that I may make you whole and well, that I might heal you. I will go deep down into your soul to heal your feelings of insecurity, the times when you get serious and you don't know where the anger comes from. It's from the past, and you react in moments to the present because of it. Come to me. I want to make all things now. I want to give you new life. My friends, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that all of you will be touched in a very powerful way, and that this message today touches and reframes your life in a very special way. And know, my friends, that you are dearly loved and that God has a plan for your life. You are not forgotten. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that you are special. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.